I watched you guys walk in tonight, and a lot of you were smiling and laughing and playing with each other and singing together and rubbing each other's shoulders. I just saw a lot of friendships, and it's kind of sad to think that that you have a terrible, terrible enemy that we're going to talk about tonight. And it's good to have friendships, and it's good to enjoy each other's company and companionship and fellowship, but there's somebody who hates you, and his desire is to destroy you and destroy your testimony for the Lord. Let's start by praying, okay? Our loving God and our Father, we do look to you for guidance tonight. Lead us into your word. Fill us with your word, we pray, that we might benefit from what you have for us. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Phil this morning gave us some thoughts about the natural heart. And, of course, we're going to talk about the heart tonight and all week. I thought it was kind of neat that in our portion, and let's turn, you can look on your sheet or look in the Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. But Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 27, or verse 23, I'm sorry. And it's here on your sheet right in front of you. Or you can look in your Bibles. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And this Phil this morning talked about the natural heart. I thought about a natural truth that the Scripture gives right here. That out of the heart flows the issues of life. And something over 2,000 years later, someone finally proved the theory that the heart pumps the blood throughout the body. But the Lord had told us that so many years before. And every now and again, man catches on to what the Lord's teaching. And it's just kind of neat that every now and again, science or medicine will come up with the truth, and we can look in the Word of God, and it was there all along, if only men would see it. Let's read. I'm going to read, again, Proverbs 4:23. I'm going to read through 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. And as you know, all week we're going to talk about the heart. And tonight we're going to talk about the guarded heart. Let me ask, I'm going to start off with a question. Most of us know the story of Adam and Eve and the first sin in the garden. And we're told about the serpent. Does anybody remember the characteristic of the serpent that we're told about in Genesis chapter 3? He did something more than any other creature. Or he had something more than any other creature. It is cunning or subtlety. It's what the King James says, he was subtle. We do have a terrible, terrible, strong enemy. And he attacks in many, many ways. But I think his main way of attack is through our hearts. He tries to get into our hearts. And he can be very, very subtle. In just a matter of a short while, it seems like in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, he took Eve from trusting in the Lord to trusting in him. And he didn't do that with just blatantly come out and said, God told you a lie. But very subtly, he in a sense got his foot in the door. He got her listening to him. He got her doubting what the Lord said to her. And eventually, Eve trusted what Satan said. And so we're told, guard your heart. Guard your heart from such things. Now, if we look on our page, and I do want to go through this outline. A guarded heart will affect the things that we say. And we saw in our verses that we put away from thee perverseness of mouth and corrupt lips far from thee. A guarded heart will affect the things that we look at. Let thine eyes look right on. And a guarded heart will affect the places that we go. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let's look at a couple of these verses in each one of these. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to ask you guys to do some reading for me tonight, if you don't mind. So if someone would read Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4. So when we're told to guard our hearts, and thanks for reading that, when we're told to guard our heart more than anything, along with that comes the putting away from perverseness of mouth, the things that we say. Here we have in our portion here, foolish talking and jesting, which are not convenient or not proper, but rather giving of thanks. When we guard our hearts from the wiles of the devil, and I do want to point out that we only have one enemy. Often it seems like we have many enemies, but there's really only one. He takes many forms and he uses many people, but there's really only one, and that's Satan himself. And if we don't guard our mouths, if we just allow ourselves to get caught up in foolish jesting, saying things that are crude, saying jokes that make fun of other people, it's just a way for Satan to get another foothold into our lives, that we're not considerate of others. We're not thinking about how that our words affect or hurt others. The things that we look at. Let's go to, I'm not going to look at all the references, but let's go to Psalm 101 in verse 3. And don't be shy, but I'm going to ask whoever would like to read that verse, Psalm 101 in verse 3. Thank you. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. I will control what I look at. I think men, probably more so than women, just naturally, are attracted to things that they look at. And if we don't guard our eyes, if we're not careful about the things that we allow ourselves to look at, again, the subtlety of Satan will draw us toward that. Troy made the remark last night, and he used the expression, not so bad. That we can look at things and maybe say things and maybe even hear things and say, well, that's not so bad. But you know, I can say it's kind of a far distance between me and this door, but if I take a step, I'll say, it's not that far. I take another step. It's not that far. And tricked Eve in the garden with his subtlety, step by step. Our hearts are drawn away from the Lord, sometimes by very insignificant things. But if we guard the things that we look at, we even train up our children. I assume every one of you grew up singing, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." The things that we attend to with our eyes, if we don't guard those things, then our heart is left wide open for the subtlety of Satan to get a foothold in there. And, you know, it is amazing how that we might look at something and then turn away because it's a bad thing to look at, but yet we find ourselves looking back and looking back. But we need to determine in our hearts, by guarding our hearts, that these are things, there are certain things that I'm not going to look at because I'm not going to find myself attracted to. And there's so many things to attract the eye, for the man and the woman, for the boy and the girl, that Satan has set out there to attract our eyes and then to attract our hearts. So we have to make this commitment. I will put before my eyes no evil thing. I will not dwell on those things. I will not look at those things. The places we go. We won't read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think most of us know that verse and that portion. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. With a guarded heart, we are particular about who we associate with. We have to be. We have to be. That we can't join in the activities of some of our friends, some of our neighbors. We have to separate from those things which dishonor the Lord. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if someone would read that.
Abstain from every evil.
Thank you. Abstain from every evil or every appearance of evil, as King James says. The places that we go, we might be drawn to do things that we shouldn't. Drawn to do things that might attract our hearts away from the Lord. We have to be conscious of that and guard our hearts against things like that. Because I tell you, Satan is subtle. Scripture says, greater is he that is in the world, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We should not make the mistake of thinking, I am stronger in myself. I am stronger than Satan. I can overcome in myself the trickery and the seduction of Satan, because in ourselves we can't. We just cannot. And if we put ourselves in places where there's temptation, not just to do the evil, but to have a heart drawn toward that evil. Good enough for us to say, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with going here? What's wrong with seeing these things? What's wrong with doing this? That should not be the question. The question should be, what's good about doing this? How can I do this and honor the Lord? Please the Lord by doing this. Not what can I get away with, but what can I do to please the Lord? And a guarded heart would give us that desire. So even as we start with our portion here in Proverbs chapter 4, we see the importance of guarding the things that we say, the things that we look at, the places that we go, all affect a guarded heart. A guarded heart. What does it mean to guard your heart? Well, the heart, and I know that Brother Paul is going to speak on this at more length than I think. The heart really refers to the inner core of a person, the thoughts, the feelings, desires, will, and choices that make that person who he is. It's more than this pumping organ, as Brother Phil brought out this morning. Proverbs 23:7 teaches us that for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, most of us will say, well, we don't think with our hearts. We think with our minds. But the heart is not speaking of this pumping organ, but it's speaking of the being that we are. And so it's a person he takes up for himself, the things that he dwells on. That really determines the type of person that he is. The word guard, and I have some notes here for you to look at, is sometimes translated keep. It may be translated preserve. It may be translated a watchman or someone who watches out. So I think that we can understand the thought that to guard your heart is to be on alert, to be very, very careful, to never let down, but to be very, very aware of the danger around us, of this one enemy who comes at us in so many different ways. And I really don't think that Satan really cares about your heart. I don't think Satan really cares what you love or who you love. His desire is to use you to the Lord. And even though you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you who are saved, even though you have put Christ, that bound your knee to Him and accepting Him as your Savior, Satan's desire is to take your heart away from the Lord so that he can use you to dishonor the Lord. So the goal of Satan is not necessarily you, but he will use you to dishonor Christ. And he is a subtle and strong enemy. And if we let down our guard, he knows how to get in there. For those of us and those of you who know the story of Eve, he asked Eve, what did the Lord say? And he said, well, this fruit in the midst of the garden, he told us not to eat it, and neither to touch it, lest we die. Now, is that what the Lord told Eve? Does anybody know? No, it's not. What did he tell them? Not to eat. He did not tell them they couldn't touch this fruit. And so we learn that Eve was a little bit complacent. Her heart wasn't totally on the Lord, and she'd kind of forgotten what the Lord had told them. And Satan learned that, and he knew that, and so he used that. And I can just imagine that as Eve, maybe in a little bit of fear, went to this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, And maybe with a shaky hand, she reached out and touched it, and nothing happened. But the Lord had not told her she couldn't touch it. And maybe her confidence grew. Yes, Satan, he is telling the truth. The Lord did lie. And so, Satan is so subtle. And he knew exactly how to appeal to Eve to get her to that place that she trusted in him rather than the Lord. That she was more concerned about what he said than what the Lord said. And it is a process. It is a process often. If, you know, if I was to ask any of you, would you be willing to go? Maybe you would say no. And I think that's probably right. You would say no. But through a process of an unguarded heart where Satan can tempt you to do one thing and then something else and then something else and then something else, you might find later that, yeah, you would steal. You would steal. So we have to be very, very careful to have this guard up. Who and what do we guard our hearts against? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 17, if somebody would like to read that for me. Thank you. Let not your heart envy sinners. The evil that's in the world, we see sinners out there who seem to be enjoying themselves and they're so taken up with the world and they seem to be having so much fun. The Lord says, don't envy those people. It's such an easy thing to do. The world's attractions. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And if someone would read that, 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Thanks. Love not the world. There's nothing in the world that's of the Father. The world systems today, there's nothing there for us. We live in the world. We have to work in the world. We have to make our way in the world. But the world system is against God. There's nothing there really for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord tells us, don't love the world. The world has so many attractions for us, so many things. So people are attracted by different things. But there's just so many things out there. There's something out there for, we could say there's something out there for everyone. But in a blanket statement, the Lord says, don't love the world. All that's in the world. He lists three things here. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the things in the world. And these things are against God. So this is another thing we need to guard our hearts. Evil that's in the world and all the attractions are in the world. And now let's read another one, the world's distractions. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Somebody would read that. Thank you. We just don't get involved. We have too much to do in this world than to get involved really with the affairs of this world. We just have too much to do. Let me relate a story that I read not too long ago, and I thought it was very, very nice. Long ago, there was a man who was who guarded a lighthouse. He worked in a lighthouse. And, of course, we know that a lighthouse is to give light to the ships who may come close to the coast. And this man really loved his job, but he had a very open heart, and he cared about people. These ships would come in, and they were low on fuel. And so he would take some of the fuel and give it to them so they could continue on their journey. And seemed just a man who just loved people and always wanted to help. One night there was a bad storm came up, and he needed to light the lighthouse. All his fuel was gone. And because of that, there was a great wreck of a ship, and many people lost their lives. And I understood this to be a true story. This man was convicted of giving away the fuel to people, and when the fuel was needed, he had none, and he couldn't light the light in the lighthouse. There's a parallel story for that for us. That if we get so taken up with trying to improve the world, if we get so taken up in the world's causes and use all our energy toward trying to make this world a better place, you know, that's not really what our job is. Our job is to be the light. Our job is to represent Christ in this world, to tell others of the salvation that comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if we expend all energy on trying to improve the world, we're not doing what we're sent to do. So these three things here, the evil that's in the world, the world's attractions, the world's distractions, we need to guard our hearts against those things. Because again, the subtlety of Satan can draw our hearts away from the Lord to where we follow him and his ideas, and we're not living for the Lord. We're not pleasing the Lord. And our heart can really, you know, our hearts can be drawn away to what we consider to be good causes. And some of them are. But when that displaces the Lord, then Satan has won. We have to guard against those things. How do we guard our hearts? We've seen several things here tonight of the importance that we do guard our hearts. How do we do that? Let's look quickly to a few things here. We fix our hearts on the Lord. If someone would read quickly, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Thank you. We fix our hearts on the Lord himself. We're occupied with Christ himself, and we set our affection on things which are above. Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. And someone read that. Luke 24, 32. Thank you. Many of us know that this is the Lord on the road to Emmaus. And he met two people on the road to Emmaus. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? They were so occupied with the words of Christ. And they were so impacted by the words of Christ. So to guard our hearts, we need to fix our hearts on the Lord. And we need to be attentive to the Word of God. This is where we get our strength, guys, right here. It's where we get our strength. And it's just not possible to hold a guard against our hearts if we're not in the Word of God to get that strength. We need to be attentive. And so that we can say, did not our hearts burn within us as the Lord speaks to us? And the Lord will speak to us through His Word. So I encourage you, each one, be in the Word of God. You're not too young to understand what the Word of God says. You're not too young at all. And if there are things that you don't understand, you have plenty of people to ask for help. But you need to be in the Word of God. You need to learn to trust the Lord in every situation. Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. If someone would read that. Thank you. Learn to trust the Lord. Trust has to be earned. And even the Lord knows that. He says, prove me. Try me. And I'll prove to you all we need, all we will ever need is what comes to us from the hand of God. And we learn to trust in Him as He brings us through different situations and different crises in our life. We'll learn to trust Him more and more and more. And as we learn to trust Him, our hearts are guarded against the influence of Satan. And one more is anticipation of the Lord's imminent return. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. If someone would read that. Thank you. In anticipation of the Lord's return, it has a cleansing effect. That each day we wake up and realize the Lord may come today. Life. And these are just four we have here before us. Now, I really do apologize. I'm trying to such hearts on the Lord. We are very attentive. We learn to trust the Lord in every situation, and we look for the Lord for His soon return. These things help us to guard our hearts. And as we start out reading, guard your heart more than anything that is guarded. Now I'm going to skip over a little bit here, and I'm going to ask us to very quickly, I'm going to just ask for volunteers. As soon as one verse is read, someone read another. But in this block, starting with Deuteronomy 11:13, I'd like for someone to read a verse. And as soon as that verse is read, someone read another verse until we read all seven verses here. So someone just start with the first one. Thank you. Now, it may be obvious, what phrase is found in each one of those verses that was read? All your heart. Is that what you're going to say? All your heart. Can we serve the Lord with a divided heart? What do you think? Is it possible to serve Him if our heart is divided between Him and the world? Can we do that? No, we cannot do it. Scripture tells us, and the reference is here in Matthew 6:24, we cannot serve two masters. We just cannot do it. The guarding of the heart implies to us that we have to have a singleness of heart. We love Him with all of our heart, not with parts of our heart. You know, it's not good enough to say, I love the Lord 75% of my heart, but I need some me time myself. So 25% of my heart I'm giving to the world. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. When Satan gets a toehold or a foothold into our hearts, it grows and grows and grows and grows. And to the point that we're living for him and not the Lord. We cannot serve two masters. So to guard our hearts, we must fill our hearts with Christ himself. And love God with our hearts. If I could leave you with anything today, it's the importance that you do have an enemy. And he is so strong. And he is so subtle. And so Scripture, guard your hearts above all things. Guard your heart. Because Satan wants to get in. And like I said, I don't think he cares what you love or not love. He will use you to dishonor the Lord. Guard your heart. Fix your heart on the Lord. Be attentive to the Word of God. Learn to trust the Lord in every situation and have a heart that anticipates the Lord's return. Because in all truth, He could come before we leave this room tonight. guard your hearts. I think especially for people of your age, as you get a little older, the world's distractions are a little less. So much of our culture is aimed at people your age to draw you to the world and away from the Lord. Don't give in to that. Put up a guard. Put up a guard. A question here. What part of the armor of God in Ephesians 6 was used to guard the heart? Does anybody remember? Can you tell me real quick? The breastplate of righteousness. Doing the right things. Being taken up with doing the right things in your life. To guard your heart against the wiles of the devil. Let's pray. Our loving God and Father, you've warned us to guard our hearts above everything, more than anything that's guarded, to guard our hearts. Lord, we need to have a heart that is full of love for you. And you've shown us in your word that we should love you with all of our hearts. Father, teach us how to do that. Teach us to be aware of the enemy and how his desire is to get in and to pry us away from you so that we might follow him rather than thyself. Teach us, Father, to always be alert and to guide our hearts from the smallest things, even those things which don't seem to be so bad. May our hearts be not with the attitude of what's wrong with that, but with the attitude of what's right with that. How does this please you? How can we serve you with this? Help us to understand, Father, that we cannot serve two masters. We just cannot serve you with a divided heart. Father, we look to you and pray that you would help us to keep our hearts for thyself. Instruct us from thy precious word, Father, and teach us the value and the importance of guarding our hearts. Lord, we just pray for each one here tonight that thou would impress these truths upon their hearts so that they might guard their hearts and have that singleness of heart for you. We ask these things praying in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Brian, did you want to announce about the...